All right, Ray, we made it to midweek. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my fine engineer-producer, Ray Allen. And together, we do welcome you to our midweek edition of Buckmaster as we get ready to close the books on March. It is Wednesday, March 30th, 2015. Hope the week has gone pretty good for you. And by Wednesday, a lot of people are already looking forward to the weekend, aren't they? The Buckmaster Show live line always available for you during the hour, 790-2040. Dr. Mark Stegeman is here. He always welcomes your questions, comments, and calls. So, absolutely. Yes, he's a very good sport about taking in the calls. They don't have to be all positive. They can, of course, be whatever's on your mind.
Critical, Bill?
Critical, no.
Hard to imagine.
No. We also invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show. It's Facebook, and it's easy to find as far as Buckmaster. Just put in my name and become a friend. In addition, we're trying to do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. We will begin with Dr. Mark Stegeman. Dr. Stegeman is one of five members of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Dr. Stegeman, along with board members Crystal Foster and Cam Juarez, are standing for another four-year term for re-election. 12:30 today, we'll be talking with Republican John Winchester. Mr. Winchester may have an announcement for us today, considering a challenge to Republican Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller in District 1. Then at 12:45, coming up on April 5th, Arizona Gives Day. We'll find out about that. Let's welcome now Dr. Mark Stegeman, who came over on his lunch hour from the University of Arizona, where he is at the Eller College of Management. How are you, Dr. Stegeman?
Very well. Nice to see you again.
We interviewed your new dean over there. Very impressive with Dean Goes, G-O-E-S.
Yes, I'm very enthusiastic, and I think most of the people in the college are. We have had a lot of deans at Eller, many brought in from outside, and this was an internal promotion, and I think we're all pretty pleased about it. I mean, he's a smart guy. He's got a proven track record, and I think he's here to stay.
Yesterday on the program, we were talking about TUSD with a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Lovelace, and I know you know Jimmy. Jimmy is one of the creators of a independent expenditure group, also known as a political action group, called TUSD for Kids. Do you have any association with that group?
No, the law says that you can't coordinate with, candidates can't coordinate with groups, and I am studiously staying away from that. Jimmy and I are in the same Rotary Club, have been for some time, and we sit at opposite ends of the room, deliberately. I mean, we just don't want anyone to think something's going on.
Do you like what you're hearing from the group?
Yes, I mean, I knew that they were talking about putting this together, and we exchanged views at that time. And I think that their values are pretty similar with my values. I think they understand what I don't mind saying, that the board, and I'm just saying as an entity, not individuals, but needs to change to bring TUSD go forward. I mean, I think that's strong, and I think they think so too. Now, hopefully they're not planning to change me, but I don't know. But their values are in the right place, which is basically having orderly school climate and raising student achievement standards and getting more money into the classroom and reducing the cost of administration.
What do you know about this group, TUSD Whistleblowers? They just posted over at 3sonorans.com their 25th newsletter, I guess you could call it, and they call themselves comprised of a large group of extremely concerned TUSD administrators, teachers, and parents. Do you know anything about this group?
I've read most of their comunicados. I don't know who's in it. I don't want to know who's in it. I think they've written a lot of stuff that's true. And then there's stuff I don't know about. And occasionally I think they've misfired and written stuff that wasn't accurate based on what I know. they're very critical of the current board majority and the superintendent, to say the least. And they use stronger language than I would use. But I think if you take away the strong language and boil down the substance, I agree with a lot of it.
You declared your candidacy for a third term, a third four-year term on the board. This is a nonpartisan race.
Yes. Yeah.
So you don't have to run as a Democrat or Republican or.
Yeah. Right, which means that I am a political independent. I was in the Democratic Party before I was excommunicated a couple of years ago. So now I am an independent, and the great thing about a nonpartisan race is that there's no problem with being an independent. You don't have to compete in a primary.
Now, you put out in your announcement on March 18th, you did acknowledge there have been bright spots. And we can talk about those in a minute. But you also point out there are a couple of areas that really are of concern to you. One, abusive and disruptive student behavior, high and rising administrative costs, falling enrollment, and misplaced priorities. And then you urge everyone to read what you call the 100-day plan.
Yes. Well, I attached to that what I think a board, a different board, any board, but I think it would probably have to be a different board, could do in 100 days, 10 things that are realistic, feasible, and measurable, where by the time you got to mid-April, you could actually say,
give me a couple of
we did them.
In 100 days, what are you going to do? What could you do?
We could set aside money to shrink class sizes at the smallest grades. We could make some policy changes in discipline that are allowed by the USP that would give sites more discretion. And maybe above all, I think we need to send out a survey to all the employee groups and get some honest feedback. I think an anonymous survey is what would be needed about what's working and what's not working, and then act on it. And we have a huge problem of listening or acting like we're listening and then not acting on what we're hearing. I think that we need to make changes in the upper layer of administration. And I'm not talking about specific personalities. I'm saying we have 38 director positions. We have assistant superintendents, a deputy superintendent, senior coordinators. We have a whole host of administrators. And I think it's top heavy. That's one of the things that people always say about TUSD, and I think it's true. Our external audit shows that the number of administrators, central administrators, has grown by 22% in the last 2 years while enrollment is dropping. That doesn't make sense. And the desegregation plan is responsible for a little bit of that, but not very much, because most of those positions were actually already there. We might have added two or three because of DSEG.
And you did say, as I mentioned a moment ago, there have been some successes. TUSD, you say, has many great teachers and principals. And some of the TUSD schools, not just University High School, perform very well. So it's a district that gets a lot of bad publicity. But you're saying there are some really good schools.
Right. And I was at a meeting the other day, and someone was saying something about TUSD and said they were, when they moved into town, they were moving into the university area and were going to be in a Sam Hughes neighborhood. And a realtor said, TUSD, you don't want to live there. But Sam Hughes Elementary happens to be A-rated and very good. And so they're just getting brought down with the whole brand name.
But the realtor was trying to discourage the client from being associated with the Tucson Unified School District.
Right. And they weren't distinguishing between where there's strong schools and weak schools. And so I think one thing TUSD needs to do, and I've been saying this for a long time, is stop talking about TUSD and start talking about the schools. They recently posted a sort of press fact sheet about all the great things in TUSD. I have issues with a lot of the things on there, but one thing they wrote was 3 A-plus schools, but they didn't name the schools.
Oh.
Right? So if you're going, it's just an example of how the culture is a little bit sideways. If you're going to name the schools and brag about it, what good does it do the schools if you don't say who they are? They don't say, okay, this is Creo, this is Rose, this is Dodge.
Front page story today, TUSD board is reacting to the news. Again, Judge Burry, who is the judge who oversees this this ongoing, long-standing DSEG case, had some things to say about diversity when it comes to teachers. Have you had a chance to get into that at all?
I read the news story. I haven't read the order. I do read all of his orders, and I will read the order in detail. He has clearly, over the past couple of years, the tone of his orders has become more hostile. And
you think he's getting kind of frustrated with this whole thing?
Well, I think he hasn't used that word, but I think he's made it pretty clear he is frustrated with it, and I think he's got reason to be. And this is the second time that recently he's gone really beyond what I expected. I think probably reflecting that frustration, the first thing he did that I think surprised a lot of people was he blocked the great expansion of Borman, which is our elementary school on the base, which there was very little opposition to. The special master had not opposed it. The Mexican-American plaintiffs had not opposed it. But Bury blocked it and said, why don't you do more to strengthen your other middle schools instead of adding grades here? And that took people by surprise. And then I think this is, at least to me, a little bit of a surprise. But I think it reflects he's getting fed up.
And he basically is saying the court is telling TUSD to improve the racial diversity of teachers. Is
that right? And that's very difficult to do. I think it does make sense. I think there's something for some kids. I mean, different kids need different hooks to get engaged. And so for some, say, Hispanic kids, it's not going to make any difference, in my opinion. But in some cases, for some kids, being able to identify with a Hispanic teacher will make a difference.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. We want to tell all of our listeners about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Maybe you've been thinking, hey, this is great weather. How about a road trip? 3 hours east of Tucson to a gorgeous area of the southwestern United States. I've been over there a couple of times, and I can't tell you what a lovely environment it is. About a mile high elevation, that makes for just beautiful, mild days, very cool nights, 7,000 feet, anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 feet, and historic downtown Silver City, just a fun place to kind of hang out and just get away from it all. Great places to stay, like Wilderness Lodge, Gila Hot Springs Ranch. The full listing on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's take a break. Dr. Stegeman sticks around, 790-2040, if you'd like to call and ask Mark a question or have a comment for him. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The show is named after my last name. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster. Just thought I'd mention that, Mark Stegeman. You never know.
I've been wondering about that.
Well, you never know. People are coming to town. They're new people. They have no idea who is this guy, Buckmaster. Maybe they haven't been around a while. So there you go. To the live line, 790-2040. Cynthia, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Go ahead. You're up with Mark Stegeman.
Yes, Bill. 2 or 3 weeks ago, you had someone from the TUSD board. Mm-hmm. And I had the same comments that Dr. Stegeman had, and he flat out denied it. But it is absolutely true. A lack of discipline, top-heavy administration, and low teacher pay is three of the main reasons that TUSD is in such trouble.
Wow. All right. Dr. Stegeman?
Yes, I agree. On a couple of areas, we have constraints. In discipline, we're a little bit constrained by the desegregation plan, but we could do a lot, even within what's legally allowed by that, a lot better than what we're doing. And, of course, in teacher pay, we're constrained by low state funding, but when we get about 48% of our funds into the classroom and every other large district in the state gets at least 57%, that's a big reason that we can't pay teachers more.
All right. I was goofing around with you of talking about new people. Maybe no one knows who I am or that, but we have new people who move into the area all the time. And where I'm going with this is there's a shortage of math teachers. Perhaps we've got some retired math people who have moved to the area, and they'd like to maybe go to back to work. They're needed.
Well, that would be great. We have chronic shortages, and TUSD is not alone, although our vacancy problem is a little bit worse than some, in special education, mathematics, and science. And math has been a point of discussion lately because the state just decided to lower standards for math teachers, lower the certification. And I think that's the wrong approach. I think what we should be doing is paying specialties with those special certifications more and have an additional stipend for a math teacher or a special ed teacher. But we don't do that, and it's some districts do, but we don't do that. And I think if we paid them $3,000 more, we might have some more success.
Earlier, you said in the interview there were what 38 administrators in the district.
There are 38, and this is just about the top heaviness of the district. In the org chart, we have 38 director positions, and I just picked on directors because we have a lot of directors. But we have assistant superintendents, we have deputy superintendent, we have senior coordinators, we have all kinds of administrators in central administration. And I just picked 38 directors as an example. I think it's too much. I don't think that you need all those people to tell the schools what to do.
Well,
you need, Bill, as we've said before,
yeah.
I'm sorry to...
No, it's all right.
Is what you need is good principals. And mm-hmm. the central job of central administration, as I've said for a long time, is to get a good principal in every school to recruit, retain, and develop excellent principals. And if you did that, you know, you'd be on a good track no matter what central administration is doing.
Now, Dr. Sanchez, during his State of the District address, it was his third address, did talk about some of these, what he considers to be myths. And he says he's very well aware, Dr. Stegman, of this argument that TUSD wastes money and doesn't want to resolve the decades-old DSEG case. Now, he points out that he has shifted more than 100 administrative jobs to school campuses, allowing the district budget nearly, it saves a lot of money is what I'm trying. I don't have that exact figure.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, allowing the district to budget nearly 51% of its funding to classrooms for 2016. You're saying the district could do a lot better.
Well, I don't think we're even doing that. I mean, at the end of the last fiscal year, which ends in June 30th, they came to the board in July when they were closing the books and said, for the year that just ended, we think we're at about 50.2%. in the classroom. Well, then the Auditor General's report comes out and it's 48.7. So they're millions of dollars off. And that's hard to understand how they could make that big a mistake. And so they say, now we're putting all this money in the classroom. And I'm saying, well, okay, let's see the evidence of that. I mean, I've never seen a list of these administrative positions that have been eliminated.
Would you like to?
Well, I certainly would, but when I put in requests for information, 2/3 of the time, not much comes back. But I certainly would love to see a list of those positions.
Or
even some more specific evidence, because I really think people always, there's always this conversation, oh, we're cutting administration, we're putting it in the classroom. Dr. Fagan really did it, by the way.
Elizabeth Fagan.
Yeah, she really did it, and it showed up in the numbers. But
who, by the way, I understand is doing very well up in Colorado. She was not here that long. I think it was like less than 2 years.
It was about two years.
It was about two?
Something like that.
Well, and she sure parlayed it into a good position up in Colorado. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, anyway. She did good things and bad things, but she did cut administration. She actually did do that. And since then, it's bloated back up, I mean, in my opinion.
So what would a good percentage be then of what ratio would you like to see of administrators to the classroom teachers?
Well, the number I like to think about, because the state watches this so much, is percent classroom spending.
And what would you like to see that
percentage? I think we ought to be able to get to 55% when every other large district is 57
and we're
or higher.
51.
That's what they're saying. But where we actually are at is down by 48. Hmm. Okay, between 48 and 49. That's what the Auditor General says, and I think we ought to be able to get that up to 55, and that's $25 million, right? Basically, more going into the classroom.
How are you doing with the majority board members, with Adelita Grijalva, Cam Juarez, and Crystal Foster? You've said before on this program, you just like to sit down and have coffee, just sort of, in a very relaxed setting with each of them.
Well, I have sat down with Adelita before, one-on-one. We haven't done it lately, but we probably should. We were talking about that on the break. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a great idea, and I think she would. But the other two have never been willing to well, have not for, Cam has never done it, and Crystal did it when she first got on the board, but has been unwilling to do it for years. And I don't know how you make progress when you can't sit down and talk, and so I'm always willing to do that. But I think one thing I heard when I had made this request before is she said, well, I hate to get this into discussion about personalities, but she said, well, he comes with an agenda. Well, of course I come with an agenda. If I don't have an agenda, what business do I have being on the board? I'm just there to keep the seat warm. You know, if you're a politician, you better have some kind of an agenda.
But you're going to try again. You'll extend this invitation to them.
Sure.
At when you meet with them at the when's the next board meeting? Coming up? Early April, right?
Yeah, April 5th or something. Yeah, and I think we should have a board retreat. They had a board retreat scheduled in early 2013, and then they canceled it for some reason or other. And okay. I think we ought to have a board retreat. Let me give you just one example.
Very quickly, please.
Yes, I'm sorry. So a big thing that's come up recently is our sex education curriculum. We've received a lot of comment about that, so I don't know where exactly where that's going. So I put in a request for information to find out what we're doing now and more about what's going on to set the context. And so they're going to present that at a meeting. Well, they moved the date of that meeting to a date when I had already told them I could not be there.
Oh.
So they're going to present the answers to my questions at a meeting when they knew in advance I told them I have a conflict.
Oh, boy.
So how does that work?
I'm not sure. But anyway, Dr. Mark Stegeman, thank you very much for being with us. We'll let you get back to campus to the University of Arizona and your job there at the Eller College of Management. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. Next time we'll go more into positive stuff.
We talked a little positive. There's some good schools in TUSD.
And some great teachers and principals, even at struggling schools.
Yep, some great students. 12:31 on Buckmaster. We'll talk with a young man named John Winchester and about his political future. Is there a political future? We'll find out in a few minutes. Stay with us.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Not a very good singer, am I? But you know what? Cockroaches aren't a pleasant subject. And we had them. And I called my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. And guess what? No more cockroaches. Adios, cucaracha. Hasta mañana. No más.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick, plus last-minute tax tips with certified public accountant Michael C. Flowers. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI, and live streaming podcasts in our archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. A quick mention, and I love roses, love to garden, love green things. They've got $29.95 beautiful roses, ready for the planter, ready for the ground, and they're in 5-gallon containers. Green Things, very, very, very easy to find, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. Jan and Jack, the owners, will take very good care of you. Tell them that Mr. Buckmaster sent you over. Well, now with me in studio, a young man named John Winchester. Mr. Winchester, 32-year-old outreach coordinator at the University of Arizona Center for Judaic Studies, and he runs the Arizona branch of Christians United for Israel. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very well. And you have been considering getting into politics and running against the incumbent, the Republican Pima County Supervisor, Allie Miller. I understand you have now made your decision. What will the decision be?
I'm going to run. I filed my paperwork, and I'm going to go ahead and jump into this. It's, it's controversial. You know, it's a Republican seat, an incumbent seat. But from my vantage point, that's not good enough. I need leadership at the county board that's going to support, me and my young family.
So Allie Miller will be primaried. You are a Republican, so there will be a choice in the Republican primary.
Yes, sir.
Tell me what was behind the decision.
I've always been involved in politics locally. I've been working races since I was in high school. I'm in Tim B. I've campaigned twice for George W. Bush. I campaigned for Ruth McClung, Gabby Mercer twice. There's just a long list of people that I've campaigned for, and I've always been intrigued with politics. And now in grad school, really later on in grad school, getting involved in the policy side of it. And I really like it. I really like the policy side, not necessarily politicking, but the policy side of it. And I always thought I would run for office. But what really did it for me, and I was approached to run and against Sharon Bronson earlier last year, and I turned that down. But when I saw Ray step down, announce that he was going to be retiring, I thought immediately to myself that we have a chance to get some new leadership in. And if we can get some people that can work together in a Republican minority, then we have a chance at getting some things done at the county level, moving the ball forward, having a vision that we can get other people to sign up and look to. And right now, we just don't have that. We don't have a vision for the county.
Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll is a friend of yours. You have a close connection. Many people on Facebook have seen the photograph where last month,
last February.
You actually baptized Supervisor Carroll in the Jordan River while both of you were on a trip to Israel. And you said that photograph's gone really kind of viral, hadn't it?
Yeah. My wife was doing some lobbying in Washington, D.C., and she was visiting at Congresswoman McSally's office, and they referenced it. And it's really been funny. I've baptized dozens of people in the Jordan River, dozens of people in my life. I'm a minister at my church, Ironwood Hills Church, here in town. And I do a lot of volunteering at the prison and women and children's shelter with the Gospel Rescue Mission. And the trip that we were on, I was asked, we were on a Jewish Federation trip as part of a project that both Ray and I work on. Now, we didn't know each other were going, but I was asked if I would be willing to support three people who were on the trip who wanted to be baptized in the Jordan River. Ray was one of them.
All right. Let's go to the live line. Lori would like to speak with John Winchester, who has now officially announced his candidacy for Pima County Supervisor in District 1 as a Republican. Hey, Lori.
Hi. I've got a question for John.
Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you.
Do you live in District 1?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I guess my question is, since your incumbent, Allie, is a conservative, and she's been kind of the one taxpayer person who's really been watching out for all of us within the county, and I guess you don't have to live, is that correct, in the district that you're challenging someone?
You have
so
to.
Why was she chosen over maybe Elias or one of the others that you could have challenged, and we would have had her and possibly you and possibly a third who's challenging Sharon Bronson?
Thank you for the question. And I know your daughter, Amanda, she's doing some great work at the University of Arizona at the Arizona Daily Wildcat, as well as with the College Republicans. I think Allie is a conservative. I think she's doing what she thinks is right. But I think that her methodology is completely wrong. And, you know, she's set herself, she's an open conflict, and she can vote no on higher taxes. I agree, taxes are too high. I agree we need more business. I agree that we need the roads fixed. I agree that she's exposed some rot at the county that I think a lot of people appreciate. But her position on the board is completely irrelevant. She's going to vote a no against higher taxes, but your taxes are going to get raised for the next 3 years. She's going to vote no on poor expenditures that are coming from the county, but those expenditures are going to go through anyway. She has no influence on the policy that's coming out of the county because she's in open conflict. And what we need is for someone who can get on that board and work with the people that they are able to work with, create a vision and a program that we can work with. If Sharon Bronson's not there, I hope to God Kim DeMarco gets in. But if Kim doesn't get in, you still have some people on there who can create a program that we can move the county forward, and that is why I'm running.
So you see yourself as more of a uniter rather than a divider.
That's exactly right. What I do with Christians United for Israel is I work with people of all political stripes, people of all denomination within the Christian world to focus on an issue. And it's an issue that I think I've been successful at. I have a very good working relationship with people in the Jewish community here in Tucson, people who don't agree with me politically on a lot of other things, but we've been able to find a way to work on the Israel issue locally and building relationships. And that's, I think, being focused on issues and not focused on political parties and not focused on laying blame, but taking responsibility for our community, I think is the way forward. I know Mr. Varney just published that and a piece similar to that in the Tucson Business Review, as well as, and this is even the message that Steve Christie's promoting. People see that this needs to happen. We need pragmatism and we need people who are smart to be able to move policy forward, not throw bombs.
Are you looking forward to debating Mrs. Miller or Mrs. Miller, Supervisor Miller?
Yes, yes. I'm more than happy to talk about the county issues with her in public. I'm absolutely open to it.
So how are you going to structure this campaign? What are you going to be doing, door to door, or what? How are you going to go?
It's everything. I mean, I work in the media world, so I've got a lot of contacts in the media world, which I think will be very beneficial. I love going door to door. I've done door to door campaigning and meeting with people for other people in the past, other candidates in the past. And born and raised in Arizona, the heat doesn't bother me. I work construction here for 10 years.
All right.
So it's door to door, getting into the HOAs, getting into the groups in the district. Satish Hiremath, Mayor Hiremath, supports me, as well as a couple of the council members, as well as people in the fire and police, and getting into those groups, meeting with those groups, also in the foothills and in Marana, and using social media.
All right, let's see if we can work one more call in. Pat would like to speak with John Winchester. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi. I was listening, and I heard that you do live in the district.
Yes, ma'am.
But I wonder, how long have you lived in this district?
We've lived in the district for a few weeks now. My wife and I.
A few weeks.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to move into the district?
A couple of reasons. One, I live in an 800 square foot house, and we have a third child coming. So my wife works in Oral Valley. So between driving south and her living north, we needed to find somewhere in the middle. The other thing is, in planning to run, I did target the district to run against Allie Miller. I've lived in four districts in this county. I've lived in incorporated, unincorporated Pima County for 32 years. I've lived here my whole life.
All right. John Winchester saying he has targeted Allie Miller, and he will be running against Supervisor Miller in the Republican primary. John Winchester, University of Arizona staffer and pro-Israel activist, a challenge to Allie Miller announced right here on the Buckmaster Show. John, thank you very much.
Thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
All right. 12:46 on Buckmaster. Be right back.
Catman and Superdog want you to be a superhero for homeless pets for Arizona Gives Day. Make your donation to the Humane Society of Southern Arizona at hssaz.org/azgives and help us fight the evils of pet abandonment and animal cruelty. Arizona Gives Day is April 5th. Donate now at hssaz.org/azgives.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is exactly 12:50 on this delightful Wednesday afternoon. I love the cooler weather. We have had such a very, very warm winter, dry winter, and it's good to have kind of seasonal weather again. Big event. People know I love animals and do everything I can to help animals in this community. And one way I hope you, as our listeners, can help, there's something called Arizona Gives Day. It's coming up on April 5th. And we do want to remember our animal friends, our homeless pets, when it comes up on Arizona Gives Day. And Vanessa Ford joins me now. Vanessa is Director of Marketing and Communication for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, which is now into its 72nd year of serving the and helping to cut down on the homeless population of animals. Vanessa, how are you?
I'm excellent, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. Tell me how this, before we hear about what's going on at the Humane Society, what is this Arizona Gives Day all about?
Arizona Gives Day is a day for Arizonans to come together as a community statewide. And, you know, if you love Arizona but you don't happen to be here next Tuesday, that's okay. And support your favorite nonprofits here in Arizona. Last year, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona came in second in the entire state of Arizona.
No kidding.
No kidding. We raised $61,000 in 24 hours. We had about 600 donors, and I'm happy to say we won the prize for coming in second overall, which was another $10,000.
Very nice. And so the goal this year, I guess, is going to be quite a bit more ambitious.
Yes.
Shall we say close to doubling? Well, not quite doubling, but certainly up to maybe 100,000?
That's the hope.
100K?
We would be the first nonprofit in Arizona to reach that level.
Whoa.
If it happens, yeah. So we have set our sights very high, but we think we can do it because this community is incredibly supportive of us.
How are things going at the Humane Society?
Pretty fantastic. We've got a lot of innovative programs going on. We have a whole cadre of volunteers that come in every single day and help us out. We've got lots of outreach efforts, lots of education efforts. We do a little bit of everything.
How are you funded?
We are completely donor funded. Mm. We receive no tax dollars. We are not affiliated with the Humane Society of the United States. We have no affiliation. So everything is donor funded, and we do write some grants to cover some spay and neuter surgeries and that sort of thing, but we really rely on local support.
We keep hearing this term, Vanessa, no-kill, a no-kill shelter. What does that mean in the animal welfare world? What is that? How do you designate a no-kill shelter?
A no-kill shelter will take every single measure possible to save an animal and adopt an animal. The only time that we will put an animal to sleep is if it is the humane thing to do. So if we have an animal who comes in who there's no medical recourse for that animal, then that and it's suffering, that is the humane thing to do. We don't keep an animal alive when it is in pain and suffering with nothing that we can do to help it. So that's the only case in which we will euthanize an animal.
You have a large footprint at this event coming up in April, and this is a wonderful event. It's going to bring together we have so many animal welfare groups and people that are concerned about mm-hmm. getting animals adopted. It's coming up in April.
Yes.
And what is it called again?
It is called Adopt Love, Adopt Local.
Okay. And that's going to be kind of a one-stop shopping center for people to come and adopt an animal.
Exactly. So the Humane Society will be there. All of the smaller rescue organizations in town will be there. It's really a place to come and see what everyone's got to offer and find your absolute perfect companion.
You have all sorts of prevention services, education. Give us a little thumbnail sketch of some of the services you do provide.
Absolutely. Well, we've got three pillars that we feel are critical to our mission. The first is prevention. So we have a lot of clinic services to help prevent unwanted pregnancies. So we do the spay and neuter. We do microchipping to prevent lost pets and help them find their way back. We do low-cost vaccinations. We also do canine DNA testing in case
really?
You need to know what's going on with your pet's history.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Didn't even know there was such a thing. DNA testing for the canines. Have you gotten into the canine or for the cats? Not yet for feline DNA?
You know, it's much more difficult to do DNA okay. testing for cats. So we only currently offer it for dogs.
Being a cat person, just had to ask. So you've got the shelter, of course, and the admissions and adoptions. So
yes.
For people who don't know, and I always try to remember that we're getting many new people who keep coming into this community.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you located?
We are on 3450 North Kelvin.
And where is that?
It's a river mm-hmm. and Alvernon.
Mm-hmm.
So those are our major cross streets.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are all sorts of opportunities that are available for people to volunteer.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people can come in and do cat socialization. They can do dog walking or our newest program called Jog a Dog, where we jog our higher energy dogs in the morning.
Whoa.
They can volunteer in any number of ways, including volunteering at our thrift store, which is at 5811 East Speedway.
And you have taken to some of the malls and things too.
Yes,
right?
We have no. two locations.
Yeah.
We have a posh location at Park Place
mm-hmm.
and one at Law and Cantata. So
and
those are pet
those
retail.
Those have done well for you,
yes,
right?
Yes, and we also do adoptions at both of those locations.
Okay, so mm-hmm. you're really bringing the animals to where the people are.
That's very true. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so in the thrift store, you can buy all sorts of goodies, but.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, perhaps, you can do your adoption of the animals right
you
there.
You can. We just built a new cat habitat at the thrift store. So you can come in and see those cats any day of the week that we're open. And you can adopt a dog there on Saturdays.
Wonderful. So how are you doing as far as the shelter right now? Is there a particular need of Well, there's always dogs and cats, but I mean, mm-hmm. you have other animals too, right?
Yes, we do. We get a lot of pocket pets, yeah. so rats, hamsters, that sort of guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. We also occasionally get chickens and goats.
No kidding. Yeah. Is there an overcrowding situation right now, or
It is kitten season.
Okay.
So we haven't seen it yet, and it's a little late in the year, but we do expect any day now for kitten season to overwhelm us. We will always need bottle feeders for those kittens who come in.
All right. What would be the best place to find out more about what you do at the Humane Society?
You know, our website's got it all, www.hssaz.org.
Are there pictures on the website of the animals that are available for adoption?
Yes, there are. You can also go to our Facebook page, Humane Society of Southern Arizona on Facebook, and see a lot of daily updates about those animals.
And it's a really simple process, Vanessa. There's not a ton of paperwork involved. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Forward, right, when you want to adopt.
To adopt an animal?
Yes.
Well, we always recommend that if you have small children or other animals in the home that you bring them in for meet and greets. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure everyone in the house will get along. So that can extend your adoption interview by a little bit, but
okay.
We try to make it pretty painless.
And if we want to give on Arizona, and I hope we do, on Arizona Gives Day, what would be the way to do that? Is that also something that can be taken care of on the website?
Absolutely. Or you can go directly to the donation page, which is hssaz.org/azgives.
All right. Vanessa Ford, Director of Marketing and Communications, Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Good luck. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. And then we'll do Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back in the mix at 12:04. And put it all together, and we do 5 hours of local talk more than any other Tucson station. We're locally owned, too, which is very important here at KVOI. On behalf of Ray Allen, who will be back this afternoon with Mike Shaw at 4 o'clock, but Ray will be with me tomorrow at 12:04 for our Thursday edition of Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.